Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend edition. Also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Please go back through our website, listen to all our market commentary, daily editorials, as well as company updates. And please, as always, keep in touch with Chad and I through email. We love hearing from each and every one of you on your thoughts on the markets and your thoughts on our guests and the companies we feature throughout the week. On this weekend show, we're going to start off by recapping the Fed meeting, some of the market reaction, and quite frankly, the continued rise in U.S. markets. Then we're going to shift our focus a little bit more into the commodities and energy for the back half of the show. We're kicking off the show with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Now, Joel, the big story of the week were central bank meetings, mostly the Fed. And look, the Fed came out with a pause that they were pretty much telling everybody about, but they really tried to drive home the fact that this could just be a skip of a meeting. This was more of a hawkish pause. A lot of people are looking at the dot plot, which is now saying, look, there could be two more small rate hikes this year and no rate cuts on the forecast. Joel, what was your takeaway from this so-called hawkish pause by the Fed?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. I missed you last week. You know, I think you got to set up the week with the CPI and the PPI. Market was priced to perfection. Market delivered, right, with the numbers for both the CPI and the PPI with inflation coming down. As far as the meeting goes on Wednesday, I think the initial reaction was, well, they got the pause, but they might go a half next time or two more quarters. That initially hit the market, so that was a hawkish part. But the dovish part really came during his testimony, and that was, you can observe what the market did after that. Inflation's under control. We may be coming near an end. So that lit a fire under the market, and, you know, in a week where you don't have many catalysts, when the catalysts come out positive, you see how the market reacts, especially in a quad-witch expiration week.
Well, Joel, it seems like the markets have been quite robust. And, yeah, they had quite a week, got off to a good start. And it seems like you had mentioned to us off mic, it's almost like they're in a Goldilocks zone and that it seems like everything the market's throwing at, all the things the economy's throwing at the markets, they're still surging higher. So what's your general takeaway? Can we continue to see this trend? Is money coming in off the sidelines? Are people now just getting the memo that, hey, this rally is on and it's for real?
I mean, it all depends. There's a lot of different opinions. Your promo bulls will give you different time periods where they think that the market really became a little bit legitimate bull market or another uptrend. I think you have to look back to a little over a week ago. I think you got to look back on June 6th. That was actually a Tuesday. And IWM's took off. Everyone's been complaining about the breadth of the market. It went from 179.5 to 184.5 on that day. That said, hey, it's just not going to be the mega cap. We're going to get full participation. And that's what you need. Those complaining about the breadth, you got the small caps participating. They continued higher. So, you know, it's everything. I mean, look at the way gold turned around yesterday. Look at the way the bonds turned around yesterday. Even Bitcoin turned around yesterday. You're getting to a point where you're getting participation in all the assets. when that and all the different sectors, when that starts to happen, it's hard to stop the momentum going in that one direction. So you had benign data everyone was looking for. You finally got the broader participation to what you were looking for. And then the mega caps, I mean, even got NVIDIA and ripping again today, you know, despite you thinking that how high can it go? Well, it could go higher than you think. Meta blasting off too. Broad participation, that's what market participants wanted. That's what they're getting.
Yeah, Joe, to your point, just this month, the S&P is up about 6%, NASDAQ about 6.5%, the Dow up 5.5%. It is seemingly just getting more and more investors chasing that momentum higher. We even have the VIX down at multi-year lows, pre-pandemic lows. Are investors getting a little too complacent? And I ask that by also saying it's not like the bond market is sold off. They're also putting money into bonds. So how do you view that balance?
It's just momentum. I mean, just, you know, looking for the laggards, looking for what hasn't gone yet, looking at the growth stocks. I mean, yeah, the managers are a big bad, you know, recession. Unless you drive by the McDonald's drive-through or you look through all the help wanted signs. And the other thing, you know, the eyeball test I talk about a lot on, you know, during these interviews. What do you have making a new all-time high today? What sector would be hurt the most by rising interest rates? The housing market. You got Lennar making a new all-time high. What about, did you see the cruise lines this week? Shame on me for fading that move earlier in the week. J.P. Morgan upgraded Carnival Cruise Lines. It jumped from 13 to 14. I'm thinking there's no way that move's going to hold. It hit over $16 today. People are building houses. People are traveling. People are flying. People are buying things. So, I mean, the talk of the recession, and I hope I've been clear enough on the show over the last couple of years. I just didn't see the recession. It wasn't popping up in front of my eyes as I drive through my neighborhoods, as I drive through, you know, different areas of Michigan. Where's the recession? I went to Utah last week. Airports jammed. I mean, either people are racking up a hell of a lot of credit card debt and they're not going to be able to pay it, or this economy's still humming, the U.S. economy.
Yeah, Joel, it is startling, the strength of the consumer, because we've heard for a year or two that the consumer should be out of money, but they're out there spending money on everything. I guess another question I have that relates to this is, during the banking crisis a couple months back, a lot of people pulled money out of banks and rotated it over into the high-yielding treasuries. And a lot of people for years were not really getting paid to save. We always talked about good old Tina. There is no alternative, and now there is an alternative. But I've heard a couple of people over the last week or two on financial shows and even in my personal life say they're using their money market account like a storage tank so they can pop in and out of the market, go in and make a trade and then pull it back out and put it in there. Do you think the whole process of people pulling money out of their savings or checking, putting it in money markets, is having them speculate a little bit more in the recent past?
Man, I don't know if people are that nimble, but I think that there's a certain level of comfort for the average investor if you have some of your money earning, you know, 4 or 5% in a supposedly declining, you know, state of inflation. So I think if you have a comfort with that, you know, some of your assets say, hey, I'm getting 5% here, then maybe it leads to a little bit more speculation. As far as them trading in and out, you know, I don't know how nimble people are with that, but I think that if you have that comfort level with at least a portion of your portfolio that you're getting 5% on, then you tend to take more speculative bets with other part of it, because it's not like you're earning zero on the other parts.
All right, Joel, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on this market. And look, you are right. It's a momentum play, and the momentum is to the upside now that it seems like almost every broad average is at 52-week highs and still ways to go back up to those all-time highs. But, man, oh, man, there's a lot of other stocks now making runs higher. Joel, thank you again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we will chat next week.
Okay, thank you guys. Always great to chat with you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Now, as promised, that first segment, with Joel Elkonen, focused a bit more on the broad markets. Now, for the rest of the show, we're going to shift our focus more to the commodities sector, starting off with more of the precious metals. We are chatting with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference this year happening starting on November 1st. I will post a link to the conference website so you all can find out more information on that conference. Shad and I will be there again this year. Brian, let's start by recapping that Fed statement from yesterday and Jerome Powell's press conference. The Fed paused, but it is being considered widely a hawkish pause, mostly because the dot plot moved to suggest two more small hikes coming this year. Whether we get two more hikes or one more hike or the Fed is done, the Fed's also saying that, look, they kind of expect a recession by the end of the year, but they're also not expecting to start aggressively cutting rates either. So it's this whole higher for longer in terms of rates narrative. What was your takeaway from the Fed statement, Jerome Powell's press conference, anything that came out of yesterday there, Brian?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. They did what everybody expected with the pause, and you know they weren't going to surprise the market. The Fed doesn't like to do that, so they've been whispering about that upcoming pause for a while. I think that decision was made before the last meeting, the last rate hike. So they knew they were going to pause. Everybody pretty much knew it as well. What was a bit surprising is how they made their rhetoric and the dot plots a bit more hawkish than anyone expected. You know, there are only 2 out of 18 voters, as it were, in the dot plots who thought that rates would hold steady through the end of the year. 16 out of the 18 thought we'd have at least another quarter point, and most of those actually thought we'd have a half point to quarter point hikes before the end of the year. So the market really wasn't expecting that, and kind of it was a mixed day. It was a bit unusual. Gold was down a couple of dollars. The dollar index was actually down pretty severely, and it is again today. And as we speak, gold was down very severely in the futures, down a good bit, about $10 or $12 on the spot basis, and as we speak is roaring ahead much higher. So it's a confused market, lots of cross currents, and the Fed, I think, kind of likes it that way. They don't want everybody to get all enthusiastic. They don't want anything that would risk a big sell-off in what appears to be a still overvalued stock market. It's kind of, I think the Fed walks away from this kind of happy by the outcome.
Yeah, Brian, it's easy for us to look at the prices of the stock market or gold on a short-term basis and all these blips and get whipsawed. But if we just pan back a little bit and look at the overall trend, when you look at gold, when you look at where we're at as far as pricing, it's actually historically not too shabby of a price. What's your, I guess, more medium or longer term outlook on the gold market as opposed to the day-to-day wiggles?
Yeah, I think the long term looks great. You know, one of the things that are kind of worrisome for a lot of people is the triple top we've had over the last couple of years in gold. And even Jeffrey Gundlach pointed that out at the following the last Fed meeting about 6 weeks ago. But in his comments post this most recent Fed meeting, he said that he had doubled his allocation to gold and other inflation-resistant assets to 20% from 10%. So he's bullish on the metal even more so, and I think properly so, because that triple top is forming the handle in a very long-term cup-and-handle formation that projects to an eventual resolution somewhere over $3,000 on the gold price. So I think if you look at where we are today with the Fed pausing, with inflation still, you know, more than double its goal, you may be a little bit uncertain about that next upcoming rate hike, if there is one. But longer term, I think the markets, I think the bond market, I think the gold market are looking past the pause and toward the pivot. And it seems very likely that there's a recession ahead, but almost just as likely that these rates at these levels, interest rates at these levels, create tremendous pressure on the financial system. And there's a very good chance of either further banking crises. Powell even mentioned that in his press conference post the Fed decision, or something else breaking in the system, or a stock sell-off. So there's turmoil ahead. I think you're going to have, over the next 3 to 5 years, a much more accommodating Fed, because they have to. The markets can't take these kinds of rate hikes, so they've essentially peaked right now, and they will be headed downward over the next couple of years. I think that's really beneficial. Obviously, that's very beneficial for the metals.
Well, and when you look at that gold chart, it does look more encouraging. It's hanging out really close to all-time highs, I think like 5% away from all-time highs. I think the problem is people trying to make money is in the stocks, and the stocks just haven't shown that much strength, Brian. You take a look at a long-term chart going back to even over a decade ago, unfortunately, the peaks are less impressive, and you can make an argument that GDX, GDXJ are still in kind of a general long-term downtrend. Do you think that's just because investors are distracted, and quite frankly, as much as we talk about generalists needing to come into the space, it just hasn't been an exciting space, and there's other options out there, a lot more options for investors to go into?
Yeah, I think there are. I think there are other ways now. There are changes, have been changes, in the ways that that people can leverage moves in the metals. You know, you can invest in that nugget leveraged ETF and get 2x on gold, and you can invest in that on margin. So you can get that kind of torque without investing in the miners or even going through all the work and researching it, et cetera. So, yeah, there you go. And so many investors these days are also traders. I mean, they're doing it on their cell phones all day long. So there's a lot less work to get that kind of leverage in the metals, and they're not getting emotionally involved. So, yeah, it's different now. The question is, will it come around if we get, say, a 20% rise, consistent rise in the metals? Will we get that kind of fear of missing out into the mining sector? I still remain somewhat positive about it, but I can confess that my resolution is getting a little more shaky in recent days. And it's just the summer, you know. It is the summer. We're in the doldrums. Good and hard right now, and a lot of the people who would be promoting the juniors are more concerned about getting on a beach with a frozen cocktail. So, you know, that's part of it too.
All right, Brian, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you, as always, for your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
You too. Thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. TSA news update. New from overnight, TSA agents clearing the terminals at Los Angeles International Airport after a suspicious package is called in. The item found around 9:30 Friday night in a public area before you get to the security checkpoints. The LAPD bomb squad, along with many officers, were on scene investigating. The units clearing the package, saying it was not a threat, but the situation creating a huge traffic jam at LAX leading up to the airport as the arrivals and departure decks were both temporarily shut down. President Biden confuses the crowd at a speech in Connecticut and then appears confused as he tries to leave the stage. This incident is trending on Twitter right now, with voters from both sides of the aisle weighing in.
When the president closed his speech, it had a somewhat odd ending.
God save the Queen, man.
I'm Dave Collins.
Laura Winters, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, we are shifting our focus more to the energy sector as we are chatting with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Now, Dan, as I mentioned, we're chatting oil and natural gas, as we always do with you, more of this monthly update. I want to start with the oil sector. And in full disclosure, we are recording this earlier on in the week before the Fed meeting. It is Tuesday, about midday through the trading day. But, Dan, when I take a big picture look at, let's say, the monthly chart for crude, it was a straight-up move in 2022, at least the first half. And unfortunately, for the last about year, it's been almost straight down. The last 11 of the 12 months have put in negative candlesticks. At least recently, some of these candlesticks haven't been as bad, and the price is more just trending now in that low 70s to high 60s region, but that's quite a successive amount of negative months. So, Dan, what could be on the horizon here to change this direction, this downward trend for oil?
Well, in the first part of 2022, that first half, so we before the Russia attacked Ukraine, we were up to about 90 to 93 U.S. dollars per barrel. Okay, then it spiked to 120 right when the tanks rolled across Ukraine. And then there's all this talk of, you know, Europe cutting off Russian. Well, they haven't been able to stop the Russian production flow because Russia was just able to, you know, make arrangements to move it to the West. India and China are buying every barrel at $60 a barrel that they can get, because Russia's willing to sell it cheaper. So that didn't come off. And then recently it's been, you know, fear, a continued drumbeat of fear of recession. And, then the, you know, the Fed raising interest rates all the time. So this week, we're hoping that the Fed does a pause on interest rates, and I think that'll help stabilize that fear a little bit. But, you know, it's just these constant talk about recession, recession, recession. And, you know, if you did have a global recession, that would lower oil demand for a while. But actually, I gave a presentation on Tuesday morning, and I showed a chart about how all previous recessions, it might even the pandemic recession, the biggest demand erosion in 1 6-month period happened, and it immediately bounced back and went back to the normal trend line in 2021. And so we got right back there. So now we're back to, you know, start of the year with a 100 million barrels a day of demand in the first quarter, but we're headed toward the forecast is that by the fourth quarter, barring a global recession, we should be up to close to 104 million barrels a day of production, which would mean we would need almost all of the OPEC production that's offline currently. So anyway, you know, there's just so much noise in the market that's keeping a lid on the oil price.
Well, Dan, that's the demand side of things. When you look at the supply side of things, it often comes down to OPEC Plus, and are they going to cut? Are they going to expand? Are they going to do what they say they're going to do? Seems like there's a lot of friction in particular between Saudi Arabia and Russia. Just wanted to flag this and maybe get your thoughts on it, and that a lot of people don't believe Russia's made the cuts they said they were going to do. But Saudi Arabia came out just on the 4th of June and said they're going to even cut a little bit more and are trying to underpin the pricing. What do you make of OPEC Plus, and are these promises going to be kept?
Well, I think Saudi Arabia does have the ability to defend the price of oil. Now, people need to remember that these production cuts don't show up in the very next week petroleum report, EIA or Canadian storage reports or OECD petroleum inventory reports. It takes a while. I mean, when the oil comes out of the ground in Saudi Arabia, it has to be processed, has to be loaded on the tankers, has to be shipped. So it takes a while before you really start seeing a tightness. Now, U.S. fuel inventories today, even before the impact of these cuts, crude oil is 2% below normal, gasoline 8% below normal, diesel, distillate inventories are dangerously low in the U.S. at 16. And, you know, when you just look at the inventory stuff, it's surprising to me that we're not getting a more of an oil price response on the upside. But again, it's, you know, I get all this stuff about recession, 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 interest rate hikes and, you know, whatever. But, you know, it does take Saudi Arabia, you know, some of the countries take longer than others to try to attempt to do their quotas, but that people need to remember that two-thirds of the countries in OPEC were really not able to produce up to their quotas anyway. And the production cuts that they announced that went into effect on May the 1st, probably two-thirds of those were just to adjust the quotas to what the countries could produce. So it's really Saudi Arabia, UAE, Iraq a little bit, Kuwait, they're making some cuts, but a lot of those other countries really aren't doing anything.
So is that why we're only seeing kind of short-term moves on the back of these so-called production cuts? Because the market knows that, well, it's just, even though they're saying they're cutting, they're actually not?
Yeah, it's they announced that their July, in the OPEC official report, you know, those cuts that went into it, that was like 1.16 just for the OPEC, not including Russia. It was 1.16 million barrel production cuts. They only cut 464,000 barrels per day in May. So it's going to take time for them to get to that total 1.16. So maybe next month, a couple months more. And then July, Saudi Arabia is now saying they're going to cut another million barrels a day. And Saudi Arabia has the most ability to quickly cut or raise production.
Well, Dan, maybe a little closer to home here in North America, some interesting, you know, tug of war between supply and demand, and that the U.S. is set to start refilling its strategic petroleum reserve. But there was a report out from the EIA also showing that U.S. shale output is going to be a little higher in July, especially from the Permian Basin. And so we had talked a little bit before recording today just about different areas that were growth areas. And really a lot of the oil fields aren't in growth mode except the Permian. I'd love you to maybe highlight why the Permian is possibly a potentially attractive area for investors to consider.
Yeah, it's like half of our rigs in the U.S. are drilling in the Permian Basin. It's the only one of the major, you know, five oil basins in the U.S. that really has upside. The Bakken and the Eagle Ford have not bounced back from where they were. They're still well below pre-pandemic production, and there really isn't enough drilling activity there for them to increase oil production. And actually, in the Eagle Ford itself, there's some very, very good areas in the Eagle Ford. I mean, where some of the best oil wells in the country are Eagle Ford wells, but that's only in like Karnes County, a couple county. It's not a big area. The Permian Basin is just so much larger than these other areas and the sweet spot. And I mean, it's got a lot of tier one acreage that still has to be drilled. So it's the only one that still has a lot of tier one stuff to bring online. So, the Permian might be going up, you know, half a million to a million barrels a day over the next couple of years, but those others will probably go decline that much. And on the back of that, in our base load, conventional non-horizontal wells, conventional oil wells are on steady decline. I mean, that production peaked, years ago and has been on steady decline. So if it wasn't for the shales, we would not have. If it wasn't for the shales, our production would be down below 4 million barrels a day. And our total production in the U.S. is currently at 12.4 million barrels a day. So all that difference is all from the shales.
That's crazy to me, just how much the U.S. has lost in terms of production, especially in this higher price environment, because I thought that they could bring online a lot more production a lot quicker. We all know that it's still not overly government supported, but money talks, and these companies are making better money. But you know what, Dan? We're going to have you back on next segment because there's a lot more to talk about in the oil and natural gas space. Plus, we can get into a few of the companies that you like. You always share with us a wide range of companies. So, everybody, stick around. We are going to be right back to wrap up the show with Dan Steffen.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the Legal Helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
All right, welcome back. We're wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Dan Steffen, president of the Energy Perspectives Group. Now, Dan, a little bit more, I guess, company or project specific. Let's dive into the U.S. production, because we spent the tail end of the last segment outlining just how much production has dropped off. Are there any big projects, infrastructure-wise, or even assets that you see coming online in the near term that could drive some growth in the U.S. for oil production?
No, other than the Permian Basin, that's the big, you know, there is some, you know, I don't cover the offshore companies that much, but there, you know, some fairly large projects down there that could bring on a couple hundred thousand barrels a day of production. But at the same time, you got normal depletion of the other stuff that's already online. I think there would be potential for the U.S. to work more closely with Mexico in their shelf, Gulf of Mexico shelf areas. There's one company that I followed down there, Taos Energy, and it made a big discovery in Mexican waters, and then they immediately get into a pissing match with the Mexican National Oil Company about who's going to be the operator, and it delays the project for 2 years. So much of this stuff is just held up by the government just getting in the way of themselves.
Well, Dan, just talking about large public works that could change dynamics, maybe not so much in oil, but in natural gas, we hear a lot about the LNG terminals that are going to be built and how that could change the dynamics there. Let's maybe bring up natural gas real quick and just how important those LNG terminals are going to be to increase output as far as exporting.
Yeah, it's very important. We have two of them. There's Golden Pass and, it's a Louisiana name, Plaquemines or something. And they're both set to come online late next year, and they are going to add about 4 BCF a day of additional LNG export capacity, and then we have, after that, there's another 5 or 6 set to come on in 2026 and 2027, that by the end of 2027, when you add all this stuff together, we should have about 40 BCF per day of export capacity, including pipelines going to Mexico and to eastern Canada. And so when you add up all that, that's like double. That today we have about 20 total export capacity. We're going to get up to 40 BCF export capacity. And that's when I think the international price of gas, which is based on its more on its energy content than supply and demand, then you're going to get a better price. And in fact, I just looked at Raymond James' latest gas price forecast today, and they're using in all their forecast models $5 gas for everything after 2024. So they, we're going to be in a kind of a low natural gas in the U.S., a low natural gas, for this year, probably in the, after we get through this quarter in the $2.50 to $3 range for the second half, then I believe it'll go up to $3.50 in the first quarter next year, the winter again, and then we should stay in the threes through that year. And then when the LNG export facilities, we're going to get a big kick up in demand. And we should have supply and demand getting much, much tighter after 2024.
Now, is there any risk here, Dan, that natural gas drops below $2 again, goes through maybe a quick breakdown?
It would have to have a very mild summer. And I'll tell you, there's nothing but not mild. You're going to have triple-digit oil prices all across Texas and Louisiana, and it's spreading across the South. Our air conditioners are on full blast now. So demand for electricity, natural gas power plants is going to go way up this week and stay up. I mean, I'm a believer in climate the same. You know, I'm the opposite of climate change. It's climate the same. It gets really, really hot down here in the summer.
Yeah, Dan, we'll see how that AC usage spikes things, not just for natural gas, but just energy consumption in general, because it's going to take the whole energy grid contributing. That brings up maybe one more discussion just on the macro that we keep hearing that, you know, hydrocarbons are going out in favor of renewables. Obviously, that transition's not happening as fast as people think. How much of the energy markets is still important for the hydrocarbon part of it? And do you see that changing dramatically over the near term or medium term?
Not over the near term. So several places, BP is one of them. They said by 2040, hydrocarbons will still be like 75% of primary energy source. The EIA, this is our Department of Energy base case, is that even in 2050, hydrocarbons will be 80% of primary energy. And the big problem is human population growth keeps growing, and every freaking kid that's born wants a cell phone, right, that runs on electricity. Wind and solar is not delivering, will not deliver as promised. We've spent well over $1 trillion on wind and solar projects, and all it's done is gone from 3% to 4% of total, of primary. And the problem is in Europe, they're shutting down nuclear power plants now. If you're really serious about reducing carbon emissions, it's nuclear is the answer. Wind and solar to get the minerals and, you know, steel and concrete and stuff and build these things, they're actually going to demand more hydrocarbon-based. They're going to increase demand for hydrocarbon-based energy in the short run just to build them.
What about that uranium or the nuclear power option here, Dan? We don't usually talk to you about that, but you are right. This transition to more greener energy, you do need, you would think, more uranium used for nuclear power. But do you see that picking up at all? Do you see nuclear starting to take over here?
The problem with nuclear, even if you did have government support for this program like that, it takes so long to get one designed, approved. And I think the problem that we have in the U.S., we have such a turnover in the government. People don't want to invest in a multi-billion-dollar nuke plant, and then by the time they get ready to start making revenues, something changes the government and they're banned. You know, I think there's a lot of geopolitical risk of raising the capital to get them done. But I'm interviewed on a Washington DC based radio show, and I've asked this question several times, and they say that in Washington, when that's brought up, all of the congressmen and stuff tell them that none of their voters in their districts want a nuke anywhere close to their home. And that's the biggest problem. As far as the supply of uranium, I think there's ample supply in the world. There's a lot of uranium in the world.
What about companies, some of the juniors, Dan? Are there any juniors that really have your eye that you think are doing some good work that could be on to, let's say, bigger discoveries or growth in that sense?
There's one that I really like. I mentioned on your show before, Silverbow Resources. It's an American company, but it would be classified as a junior up in Canada. It's got about a $500-600 million market cap. It's currently trading below book value. The company is extremely profitable. you know, this is the stock was $17, $18. It's in that range. They reported 2022 earnings of $15.51 a share, earnings per share, and the stock is trading for $18. Where do you find a P.E. ratio of like 1.2? It was profitable, reported profits of $4.18 per share in the first quarter. Based on my forecast, it's going to be profitable every quarter, and looks like to me it's going to be in the report earnings of about $11 a share this year, which is very much in line with First Call's forecast, and $17 or $18 earnings per share in 2024. Now, I'm using a $90 oil price in 2024. But this company was labeled as a natural gas producer, but really their production is very balanced. They're about half their revenues come from gas sales, half from oil sales. And they're only running two rigs. It's a pretty small company, but they've got a lot of running room, a lot of high potential acreage to drill. And it's an Eagle Ford company down in South Texas, good weather conditions. Another thing I like on these small caps is I want to make sure they have a lot of infrastructure takeaway capacity. And where they're drilling, the Eagle Ford is south and east of the Permian Basin, and it has adequate pipeline takeaway capacity, so that's not a problem. And they can even get, I think, some of their gas can go directly to the LNG exporters. Let's see. I like for smaller companies. I still like Callon Petroleum a lot. It's not that small. $2 billion market cap. I like that one. Vital Energy VTLE. It's got about an $800 million market cap. Very profitable company. They are going to close an acquisition. The negative on that company was that they didn't have that much running room left in their inventory, but this acquisition, I can't remember off the top of my head, that they're going to close here in a couple months, is going to add a lot more inventory for them, so that one looks really good. Anyway, Magnolia is one. They're totally unhedged. It's like a $5 billion market cap company, but they pay a nice dividend. They got a super clean balance sheet. They've paid off a lot of debt, and they got a lot of running room in South Texas.
Okay, we are out of time for the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed this first hour of the KE Report weekend edition. Be sure to visit our website and podcast to stay up to date with us on all the market commentary and company updates we record throughout the week. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corwin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.